Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, as always, the founder and owner of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. If you're not familiar with us, we are a Boston-based holistic internet radio station with all the bells and whistles. You can listen to us in any country, whether you're in the car, whether you're in the house, on your mobile devices, everywhere and anywhere. And we're syndicated with other stations as well as on just about every podcast directory out there. So you can find us everywhere. And we are proud to be the media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. They are closed up right now, but will be opening again come May of 2022, which is really almost foreign to even say that. But anyway, we have an amazing guest for you this evening or whenever you choose to listen to the show. This is live show right now. Bob is in the house. You can call in and he'll put you right through. The number is 833-220-1200. Again, 833-220-1200. And we have Teresa Velotti. She is, I have to say, I have grown to know her soul, and she has a beautiful soul and heart, and everything that she does comes from her heart, and she has had quite a journey, and we're going to hear about that. Just like myself, we have written our stories of our journey in three of the series of sacred stories for transformational change. The first one was Chaos to Clarity, second, Crappy to Happy, and the third one we're going to be talking about is Mayhem to Miracles. So if you'd like to learn more about both Teresa and I, you can get all three books. They're just filled with all kinds of written stories by people just like you and I. And we share the stories not only to heal ourselves, but to help you, the listener, because there are a lot of people out there that are alone, may not know where to turn, all those kinds of things. And our main objective is to help others and help ourselves and move collectively together from a place of love. How about that? I bet you never heard me speak about love. Anyway, Teresa is a writer, an editor, publisher, and coach, and she is co-owner of Webe Books Publishing. It's Webe, W-E-B-E, bookpublishing.com, and also she owns Authentic Endeavors Publishing.com, just as it sounds, AuthenticEndeavorsPublishing.com. She also has her own radio show here on Dream Vision 7, Conversations That Make a Difference with Teresa Velotti, heard every Tuesday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video YouTube shows where you can call in every first and third Tuesday at 5 p.m. So without further ado, welcome, Teresa, to Love by Intuition.
Thank you, Deborah. I am so happy to be here with you. I've been looking forward to this conversation all week.
Me too, Teresa. And I have to say, with getting to know you and your journey, it's just I feel people, and so I can feel your soul, and it's just a delight. And when I think of all the things that you've experienced, I wonder, was your soul delightful beforehand, or did it become delightful after all these struggles?
Well,
what do you think?
Thank you for asking that question. I have to I'm gonna stand on the side of my soul was delightful beforehand. Otherwise, I don't think I could have endured what I went through for so many years.
That's a very good point, and I agree with that. And the whole piece of it, as I always have said, is we're here to grow our souls to be a better version of who we were when we came, and that's what it's really all about. I mean, there's so many other facets to it, but that's it in a nutshell. And some people grow and others don't. And I believe we have an opportunity to come back and do it all again in a different, our souls are the same, but we're in another container or body. How do you, what are your thoughts around that? People will, say that, yes, we can come back many times. What are your thoughts?
I have mixed feelings about whether or not we do come back many times. I do know that I have experienced what some people will call deja vu, where you've been in this place before, or you've had this conversation before, or this person who is before you, yet you've never met them, at least not in this lifetime. And that kind of holds true for some of the things that I've recognized as some of my gifts, like making pottery, for example. My first pottery teacher said to me, "Teresa, you've done this before." And my response to him was exactly that, not in this lifetime, but,
Yes, but another, possibly.
Possibly, yes, yeah. And just like there's been people that I've met who have said to me, "I know you," and I'm like, okay. The doctor who did my mother's surgery when she was diagnosed with cancer said to me, "I know you." And I said, "Well, maybe you know my sister. She works here in the hospital." He said, no, "I know you." And I was like, okay, I believe you. We could never pinpoint where I knew him from or where he knew me from, but our souls were connected somehow, some way.
Yes, and I agree with that. And, it's that collective consciousness, too, where you can, you can pull different things from that consciousness. And, we're all in one big soup, if one can say. And I think that we can feel and sense different people, even if we don't know them. So it's all a big mystery. I know for myself, I've actually seen visions of myself in different times. And there's nothing that can say that isn't true. And yet, who knows whether it's true? But it's fascinating. I always like to think about the, possibilities of what is this all about. So let's get into your life. You started, I was just so moved about the messages that you received when you were getting married. So, and that's actually in Chaos to Clarity, I believe. So tell us a little bit about that, just so that, because we have that similar story. But take us to where you were getting married.
That was an interesting day. So, excuse me. I was standing at the altar. First of all, let me preface this by saying everything that could go wrong that day went wrong that day. So the limousine was late picking me up. I had something happen with my mother that was not the greatest experience at that time, because she knew that I was marrying the wrong person, but she would never tell me. The photographer was late. The limousine was late. The priest had told me, "Don't be late." And here I was an hour late for my own wedding. And my dad had doubled up on his dental appointments because he wanted to be someone that looked so good for the pictures. I was the only daughter of three that he walked down the aisle. And I was the only one of three that he walked down the aisle. The other two got married. One got married in California and was married by Justice of the Peace. And my other sister married outside of our religion, and they couldn't get married in the church, so they got married by the Justice of the Peace also. So I was the only one that got walked down the aisle. And when the priest read the wrong readings that I had taken a lot of time to choose, I was like, what is going on here? And then when he asked me, do I take this man to be my husband, I heard in my soul, I heard, Teresa, don't do this. I literally heard God speak to me. And I looked around the room, and I saw my father, who was smiling brightly. I saw my now ex-husband's mother, who was dressed. Everything matched. She drove me crazy. Mm. Everything matched, though. I saw her there. She was smiling, and my mother, I looked at my mother, and my mother knew. And I looked at all these people who were there who had come from far and wide to be at my wedding. And I turned around and I looked at my groom, and he was high as a kite. And the priest asked me again, Teresa, do you take this man to be your husband? And I said, I didn't say anything at first. I started to say something, and then I heard again, Teresa, don't do this. I have someone so much better for you. And once again, I looked around the room. And finally, I turned around and I said, I do. And then from that moment on, for a long time, it was a mess.
I cannot imagine being in that position where you have that voice from God, and yet you do not want to disappoint everyone. So it's almost like you're forfeiting your life for others. It's for now, when you look at that, and if you look back and you had a second chance to say I do or I don't, would you say I do again?
I would run out of there so fast.
So what has changed? Is it that you, like me, what I thought when I had an abusive boyfriend, I thought that once we were married, all that would go away. Did you think his drugs and such would go away too, that it would get better?
He made me promises that he basically could not keep because he was so addicted, and he was so unable to face life. And he had his own difficulties. I mean, I know a lot of things about his life that had they happened to me, I can't say that I wouldn't be doing the same thing. I'm just a different person than he is. But, you know, I don't know that life would have been any different if he wasn't drinking, because when I didn't know who he was inherently, but when I reviewed all the things that I learned, some before and some after the wedding, I don't think I would have married him did I know all the information that I had before, you know, that I had learned along the way. So,
right.
And you're right. I sacrificed myself for a period of time, even after hearing the voice of God, and I felt my heart sink to the floor is what I felt, because I was brought up in a home where God was the center of everything, and I didn't want to disappoint everybody else, and I didn't know that was really the voice of God. Was I making it up in my head? It can't be possible. And then the abuse that followed was just, I don't know whether it was, some of it I'm sure was part of the drinking, some of it was part of the drugs, some of it was who he is. And I know that because the second marriage didn't go well either.
You make a very good point on his behalf, because, you know, what happens is sometimes people think, well, it's the alcohol or the drugs that made him do it or her do it. And yet, that there's usually a core within them that is an issue, whether it's abuse from from their own parents or other people, or whether it's a secret that they hold and they medicate themselves because they can't deal with it. And it could be really, you know, horrific, and so this is what they do. So there's all different variables. And then we, you know, both you and I were young when we got married, and so you're naive. There's so many pieces to that. I know when I got married, I was going away from a tumultuous childhood, and yet I was going into something that wasn't really an improvement. And yet, there's always that in the back of your mind that maybe this can change. It's going to change. And one of the things that you and I have from that first marriage is we have a child. And then you wonder, well, you know, if you didn't go forward, you wouldn't have that child.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Sure. And one of the best days of my life, one of the funniest things that ever happened, was my son came, if you're familiar with, what the heck is the name, Seinfeld, Kramer, the character Kramer, he kind of like opened the door and he slid into a room when he came in, right?
Yes.
I'm sitting at my desk one day and he comes in and he does just that. He opens the door and he slides in and I started laughing. He goes, Mom, what were you thinking? I said, why, Joe? And he said something about his father. And he said, what were you thinking when you married him? I said, I guess I had to marry him in order to have you, and you are the gift.
And that's correct. So, I mean, And, you know, there's gifts in everything. Sometimes it's a gift that you could never give up, and other times it's a gift after the loss of someone, but there's a nugget there. So there's so many things that one can take in from every experience. So your son, tell us about a little bit about him. He grew up and he's in the food business, right? Does he have a restaurant?
He does have a restaurant in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And, He started out, he was working in a club, and he was really intrigued with DJing, and so he learned how to DJ, and he built a business called Upscale Affairs, and he was doing that for a long time, and he was the resident DJ at what is now his restaurant. It was under a different name before that. But he was a resident DJ there, and he would always say, if this was my place, I would do this differently, and I would do that differently, and blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, he did. When the owners decided that they were going to do something else, the business went up for lease, the building went up for lease, and he stepped in, and he renovated the whole thing. And this is right before COVID hit. And one of the biggest days for the restaurants and bars in this area is St. Patrick's Day. They have a massive parade. They say about 100,000 people descend upon Scranton, Pennsylvania for the St. Patrick's Day parade, and they canceled it 2 days before when COVID hit. So he had to put everything on hold, although he did start doing take out with DoorDash and Grubhub and whatever other, place things are available to do that. And he said, are you going to do that? And he said, I don't know, Mom. I said, I'll tell you what. And I invested a little bit in him, and I said, pick one of the local hospitals, because there are three locally. Pick one of the hospitals or a doctor's office or a business that is considered to be essential, and make up some trays of food. Put your menus in there and go feed the people. See what happens. And it blew up.
Wow, Teresa. Oh, that is phenomenal. Yeah. Wow. So he's doing well.
Really good.
And that was
he's
your
doing
gift.
Well.
That was your gift to him. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So So when you, you know, for the people that are listening and for those that may be in a relationship where they're, you know, it could be violent, it could be just, when we say just emotional abuse, but it isn't just, because it can wear you down to you feel as though there's nothing left to you and there's no value. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to the people now, especially the women that may be in a position and they don't know what to do?
Several things. Don't lose sight of who you are. I had what I call a come to Jesus moment, because I did not know. I looked at myself in the mirror one morning and I didn't recognize myself. I'd given up all of my art, everything that I loved, I set aside for the sake of this. And then what I did was I went and I sought help. I went into a 12-step program and I got some therapy. And then I started making an escape plan. I had set aside some money, and I'd set aside some clothing, packed a bag, so that if I had to run, I could. And I had friends that he didn't know, these friends that would take me in, and I did. I had to go into hiding for a little while. And it was a plan that I had to put in place. So if there's somebody listening who's in a similar situation that I was in, an abusive situation where the person who you look at when they come home every night is unfamiliar to you, or you, when you look in the mirror, you don't know who you are, remember that you, somewhere down in your soul, you are there. You just have to give that person a chance to thrive again. So make a plan, get yourself around some friends you can trust, and let them help you. Let them support you through it. You know, even after he went into rehab, he couldn't stop. So I made the decision to end the marriage and move on with my life, because I had too much to lose if I stayed, including the possibility of my own life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well said. And that, I think, is one of the key things, as you mentioned, is looking at yourself in the mirror and really talking with yourself in the eyes, and knowing that we all, there's so much possibility out there, and each one of us has this guidance within and this inner strength and power. And once we start calling on that, then we feel the guidance and we can take the different steps to you know, to get ourselves out of those situations. The key is to take the first step, and then the guidance starts going from there. Would you agree with that?
Totally agree.
The first step.
And when you ask, the first step, yeah, absolutely. And you know, you have to look at your life from, when I stood in the mirror that day and I asked myself two questions, who are you and why are you here? I had to look at that question from two different standpoints. Who am I innately? Who am I inside? And why am I stuck in this marriage? Why am I allowing myself to be stuck in this marriage? And then I asked it from a global perspective. In my mind, I was answering this twofold question in more than one way. Who am I? Who was I created to be? And why here? Why now? Which I often ask myself with this crazy world, why am I here now? You know, but I had to look at that question, and if I didn't have the answers, I was sure as heck going to find out. And so I knew I was here for a greater purpose, and I wasn't living it by staying stuck in that marriage.
Wow. That is powerful, what you just shared. Wow. So with that, and I'm so grateful that you had the inner strength to do this. With that, we need to take our break. Everyone, it's 833-220-1200. We'll be back more with Teresa Velotti, and we have what happened after that. Stay with us.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids Children's Book by Deborah Bovee and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on Feedy Baby or iTunes.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because a child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Oranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back, and our guest today is Teresa Vellotti. She is a writer, editor, publisher, and coach, and co-owns WeebyBookPublishing.com and AuthenticEndeavorsPublishing.com. And she has her own show, so check that out, Conversations That Make a Difference. That's heard every Tuesday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., just before my show. And live video shows every first and third Tuesdays at 5. So in the next book, which is Crappy to Happy, and we're not going to get into, you know, that because we want to talk about mayhem to miracles and what, and the miracle that you experienced with your mom. However, with the house thing, you were a person that were... and single person that was trying to have a remodification for your mortgage, and it turned into some kind of horror show from the Twilight Zone. And so, and just touch upon it, the FBI was involved, and if everyone was held accountable, and then I'm curious, are you still in the house?
I'm still in the house.
Oh my gosh! So tell a little bit about that, because it's so bizarre.
It is so bizarre. So I hurt my back at work, and I was advised to call the mortgage company when I had made my last mortgage payment. I was like flat out of money, and I called the mortgage company, and they said they would modify my loan, and I was like, okay, so what do I do? And they said, go to this site. This is all the stuff you need. You have to be 3 months in arrears, so 90 days from now, send us the information that's required. I was like, okay, so I filled out all the paperwork, got everything ready to go, and was supposed to mail it. And I did. I mailed everything, and the very next day, I got a knock on my door. It was FedEx delivering me foreclosure papers. I'm like, well, this is crazy. They're modifying my loan, right? So I called them, and they said, oh, pay no attention to that. Well, this went on until I got a default letter, and then I ended up in the courts, and then I had someone who knew about what was going on, and they said the banks are perpetuating a fraud on people, and which they really did, and I can help you. And just know that the FBI will be notified that you are a victim of fraud. But okay. So I was at a conference.
And this was back in 2008 when all this funky stuff was going on with lenders,
yeah,
correct?
2008, 2009, somewhere around there is when I filed, you know, filed for the loan modification. And so I was at a conference. I was out of the area, and my son called me and he said, "Mom, somebody from the FBI is at the door." I'm like, "Well, what do they want?" He said, "I don't know." So I said, "Does this have anything to do with the guy that was helping me?" And they said, "Well, what do you know about that?" And I was like, "Well, he said that the FBI would be notified about this fraud that the bank perpetuated." And so I almost expected to hear from them. And so you can't make this stuff up, Deborah. I went into the office to talk to them when I got back from where I was, and they said, "Well, you know, we need to know what's going on." And at that point, the guy had hired an attorney to go with me to the court, and the FBI wanted me to wear a wire. I'm like, "Wait a minute, hold on a second. You want me to go into the court through the gates of the metal detectors? You want me to wear a wire?" "Yes." I said, "Well, this is my name. I am not putting my name and my integrity at risk for you or anybody else." So, long story short, that blew over. I told them, and I found out that they wanted to bring charges against this guy that was helping me, who wasn't doing anything wrong, by the way. And they told me the only chance I had. I said, "For what? Chance for what?"
Right.
So they were like, to tell us what. I said, "I have nothing to tell you about this person. I have nothing to tell you about anything that you're looking for. And I'm not your girl. If you're looking for somebody to snitch for something that I'm, first of all, I'm not your girl to do this. And secondly, he didn't do anything wrong." And I stood my ground, and the FBI went away.
Okay. Now, just that in itself brings me back to your first marriage, when we don't have value for ourselves, and we don't know our own power. And yet, I'm feeling I get the little goosebumps going on, because now I see Teresa being the strong within person that you are, and standing up for your own truth and for your own what's happening. So kudos to you, Miss Teresa.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's
so he wasn't doing anything wrong. So who was it the bank that was pulling around?
Apparently, the bank was the problem in the first place. But what I found out later on is that the people that had introduced me to him weren't getting the results they wanted fast enough, so they called the FBI on him. And then FBI, and they gave them my name, and that's how I got involved in the conversation. And and the rest is history. And I actually went to the guy and told him that the FBI was after me to make statements against him and whatnot. He says, "Yeah, I know." And then he said my friend's name, called the FBI on me, and he's known about it the whole time, so it was no news to him. But
yeah, crazy stuff. When you think of all that is going on and may not be found out, then you've got something that someone said that may not be true, and then it turns into a big circus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good word for it, Deborah. Circus.
Yeah. So this was back in 2008, and here we are in 2021, and you still are in the home, which was your intention to begin with. Bravo.
Yes.
Bravo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've learned I've learned a lot.
Yes, I mean, going through a remodel is an experience in itself, because you, and then when you're struggling to try to put $2 together, that's an experience. But the whole piece of that, too, is finding out that everything has its purpose in a way, and everything falls into place. And I want to ask you, where God talked with you when you were standing at the altar, did you talk with God and say, okay, I don't know what's going on, but I'm trusting that the guidance will come for my next steps?
Yes, indeed. And I actually had an incident happen that was really interesting. I had to go to court one day, and that morning I was getting all my ducks in a row, getting my papers in a row, because I wanted to know what I was going to be saying. And every day I start my day off in the Bible, and I write in my journal. And the verse of the day was putting on the armor of God. And if anybody is familiar with the Bible, it's in Ephesians, and it's one of my favorite segments of the Bible. And so that was my reading in the morning. And I said, okay, God, when I go, to send an army of angels with me so I can get through this in one piece. And then I was getting ready to go, and my phone, I got a text message from a friend of mine who was a pastor, and the passage that she would send out a passage every day, and the passage that she sent out that day was the armor of God. I was like, okay, I'm hearing you. I know that you're with me.
Yes.
I got in the car, and I thought I turned on the radio, and I normally wouldn't turn on the radio when I'm in the car, but something, I was turning on the radio, and instead of it being the radio, it was a CD by a woman pastor who was teaching on, Deborah, can you guess what?
Yes,
the armor of God.
What's her name? My sister reads all her books.
Joyce Meyer.
Joyce Meyer. Yes. Thank you. So I mean, see how everything, when you ask, or when, and not so much when you ask, you know, please, but when you say, hey, I need some help and show me the way, it comes. And then you get these messages, and it's like, okay, I've got it, and thank you, and you're on your knees in gratitude. So, all right, so now we're at Mayhem to Miracles, and your mom has been ill, and you've been there a lot visiting and staying with her. And that, what happens is a miracle, but tell us a little bit about, you know, being there with your mom and being able to talk with her and have that intimate time.
Yeah. So this was the story in the book starts out where she was done with therapy. She did not want to go through any more chemotherapy. She didn't want to go through any more surgeries. They wanted to do a cryoablation because she had lung cancer and it had metastasized to various parts of her body. And she was done. So I sat down next to her one day, and I said to her, Mom, how are you? And she said, Teresa, I'm tired. I know where I'm going, and I'm ready to go home. But I'm sure going to miss you, she said. She said, do me a favor, please. Try to keep the family together. So I rolled my eyes, and she said, and I have a sister who's a little bit of a challenge, so she says to me, all right, she said, just like this. She goes, all right, let's make a deal. You work on her from this side, I'll work on her from the other side. I said, all right, you got yourself a deal. My mother was my best friend, and we were just really, really tight. And she didn't want any more treatment. The family wanted to have her go through more, and I was like, why? She's done. She's finished. She wants to go. She's done here. And you know, I understand it's really difficult to lose someone. It's really difficult to lose someone. But when my mother is telling me with a smile on her face, I'm going to miss you, but I know where I'm going and I'm ready, how do I go against her wish to go home to be
exactly
with my... Yeah, how can you do that? So I advocated for her. And then there was a couple of days between that and the time that she actually passed on, and there were a couple of interesting things that happened along the way. My brother and sister-in-law were waiting to come down from upstate New York to Long Island, where I lived at the time, and my sister-in-law having had some major surgery shortly before this, and we were waiting for the okay for her to travel. And so my mother had a list of people that she wanted to see. She gave me the list that day when we were having that conversation. She said, and Linda was one of them. Linda is, although she's my sister-in-law, she's more like a sister to me. She's been in our family for so long. My brother married her. They've been together since they were very young. And so Mom wasn't going anywhere without seeing her fourth daughter.
Okay. Yes. Hold that thought now, Teresa, because we need to take our break. I know everybody's listening and like, oh my gosh, what's next? But stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids Children's Book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And let it flow. Okay, so we're talking with Teresa, and her mom has made a list of the people she wants to see before she transitions to the other side, and she wants to see your sister-in-law.
Correct. Yeah. So we got word that day that the doctor was going to allow my sister-in-law to travel after having undergone major surgery. And so that night when I was putting my mom to bed, and I told her I was excited that she was coming and that, you know, it was going to be a good day. My mother was not going anywhere until she saw these people on the list. So I'm talking to her. All of a sudden, she's like off in Never Never Land. And she's looking in the corner, the left-hand corner of the room. I'll never forget it. And every time I tell this story, I can put myself right back in that spot. That upper left hand corner of the room. I know, right? I did too. So right where the wall meets the ceiling in that corner, and she was in whatever was going on, she was fully engaged with it. And then I realized what happened. No matter what I said, she wasn't coming back to me. And then she started giggling, and I thought, all right. Then I started thinking about what could possibly be happening. And I said to her, who's here? And so she turned around and she looked at me. And then she, one by one, she named all of my deceased relatives, mostly her family. My father, of course, and the couple of brothers who had passed on with my dad. And then my aunt, my grandmother, my great-grandmother. I said, what are they doing, Mom? And she says, they're cooking the pasta for the party. I'm going home. So her joy was just something that, and she was excited. She was excited. So, mm-hmm. You know, we stayed there for a while. But in my mind, now I'm remembering in my mind as she's talking about them being there and cooking the pasta, when I was little, my grandmother lived next door to me. My aunt lived around the block. My uncle, Tony, lived in Queens. And every Sunday, the family would all be together for dinner, for pasta dinner. And mm-hmm. after dinner was over and the table was cleared, the cards came out and the men were upstairs and the women went to the second kitchen that I never understood this, but a lot of Italian women in that generation had two kitchens for just this purpose, because all of the women went downstairs, including me, a little girl, and made pasta for the next week's meal. So mm-hmm. she said they're cooking the pasta for the party. Every Sunday was a party for us, because that's what we did. We were cooking pasta every week.
Mm, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and I could feel them in the room. I could feel their energy in the room. And my mother was happy. So
mm-hmm.
the next day, Linda arrived. And she said, get me up. And so she got up like there was nothing wrong with her. We wheeled her into the kitchen, having dressed her and gotten her ready to greet whoever was there. And there were a lot of people in that kitchen that day. And she mm-hmm. was just... She had come from, like, just being, like, almost comatose in the bed to, as soon as she knew that my brother, my sister-in-law, and the kids were there, she was, like, she got a second wind. And she, mm-hmm. she even...
And
she
her
even,
party. She would be, the party before yes. the party.
Exactly. And so we she even beat us at cards.
Isn't when you talk about that, of here she's at the end of her life and yet can summon up as much life as she needs to enjoy before she goes. I mean, how amazing and how beautiful is that, to have the ability mm-hmm. to have, and then what an honor for you to experience what she was experiencing, because you could feel it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It was indescribable what I felt, mm. you know, and mm. the connection to my mother was always there, always. I was her firstborn, and I would always connect to her. I mean, even to the point where at one point our telephone messages, back in the day when we had answering machines, my answering machine would call her answering machine or vice versa, and I called the phone company and I said, why does this do this? He said, lady, you're crazy. This doesn't happen. And he hung up on me.
Yeah. So do you, from having that experience with her, because I think the power is in not only having the experience, but having the experience with your mom, your best friend, how did you look at life afterwards, after she, you know, crossed over, passed? How did you look at life differently from there?
Yes and no. It's my belief that we go to heaven when we die. If we live according to the Bible, and for me, Jesus and my religion, Jesus is the way to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom had strong belief. And I know that in my heart, I feel her energy around me. I feel her close by in a lot of different situations. This life, there is definitely something, no matter what you believe, no matter what religion, whether you have a religion or not, whether you believe in God, I believe that something somewhere along the line is going to change your mind about this being all there is. I'm sorry, I don't believe that we get put in the ground and that's the end. They put the dirt on top of your casket and that's the end. Bye-bye. I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
even
collective consciousness, I mean, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be on this plane. This can be heavenly. The spirit, I don't believe the spirit ever dies. I don't believe the spirit ever dies. So.
Yeah. And it's where everything's just eternal.
Yes.
And once you realize that, it does take the fear from everything ending. And yet, you know, it is hard to be on Earth and have your loved ones not there in the physical. But it's the mystery of life. So,
yeah.
So do you even now, does your mom connect with you? You know how people connect with a song or something like how, what happened with the armor of God where that kept showing up? Does your mom show up in different places?
I think she does. I feel her energy. And every time I do a radio show, every time I talk about this, every time I read through this again, I feel her with me. And I feel her joy. I feel her encouragement, you know. And I worry is not something that I do very often. I can promise you that. Even with all that I've been through in my life, fear and worry just don't live in the same space as I do. And and I think that having seen a little glimpse of heaven and having known my mom the way that I did, and having known, you know, in my belief system being the way that it is, I can't worry. I can't be afraid. I can only enjoy this life, enjoy every moment, because even though someday we'll leave this place, we'll leave a mark on it, just as she did.
Absolutely. Beautifully said. So we're coming to the end of the show. You know, what would you like to leave the listeners with, other than what you've already shared, but share what you'd like.
I just want to say that as we're coming to the season, as we're in the season of Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving being only a couple of days away, no matter what it is that you're going through, whether it's the situation that I shared in Chaos to Clarity, whether it's crappy to happy, be grateful for who you are, why you're here. Be grateful for even the things that don't feel like that they feel very good and that they feel like your life is going to end, because somewhere along the line, you will find something through that experience to be grateful for in the end. So my wish for everyone is that they will have an extremely peaceful and grateful couple of days as we celebrate Thanksgiving and move into the rest of the holiday season.
Beautiful. And for anyone out there considering writing your own book or a children's book or otherwise, you can get in touch with Teresa. You can go on Weeby, W-E, B as in boy, E, bookpublishing.com. And you can ask questions, you can submit a story, whatever. But Teresa knows all the ins and outs on how to help you. So check that out, weebebookspublishing.com. Well, it's been such a joy to have you, Teresa. I really looked forward to it and sharing your journey. And because you shared your journey, others will hear that and will find hope, will ask for help elsewhere, will make a plan like you talked about, and look what you've accomplished. Do you look back now and say, wow, I've come so far, and here I am today, and wonder how you got there?
Yeah, life is much, much different today than it was in those days. So I'm grateful, beyond grateful. And if somebody's in a situation and they don't want to say anything because they've been threatened or whatever, find someone who you can trust and tell them, don't go this journey alone. There is love and hope and a future that you can't even imagine on the other side of this. Tell someone.
Thank you. It's a privilege to know you, Miss Teresa. Everyone, thank you. Everyone, listen to the show again. Pass it on to the family members and friends. And listen to it in the archives. You can do that. And don't forget to tune in Tuesdays, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. to Conversations That Make a Difference with Teresa Vallotti. Until the next time we come together in heart and love, and have the most glorious Thanksgiving. Bye for now. Au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.